Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 29. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. But good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to welcome each one of you to worship this morning. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I promise to be good and to stay close to this microphone at the pulpit today. I want to especially congratulate you on making it up and at 'em on this first day of daylight savings time. Well done. Even if you don't have to tell anybody if you meant to get here in time for Sunday school and you actually just got here in time for worship, don't say so. It's okay. You're like, "I got here. I made it to church today." So well done, you. But really, I mean, I'm joking, but you prioritized your faith today. You are nurturing your spiritual well-being, setting aside this time to open yourself to God, to let God's grace pour over you like streams of living water. And so it's my prayer that this time together would be refreshing and nourishing to you in the midst of what often is feeling like day after day attacks on our souls. We want to stay informed about war in the Middle East and chaos in our government and violence all around us, and yet we struggle not to be consumed by all of that. Is that just me? Is that you too? Yeah. This is a time, we are living in a time that demands both wisdom and moral courage. And it is a time when we, I think we become more aware than ever that on our own, we do not have what that takes. But just when we think that we cannot go any further in this wilderness, God shows up with manna in the morning and water from the rock. And a reminder that wisdom and sustenance will come when we stay connected with God and with one another. So I hope you find that today in worship. It's good to be together. We are about at the midpoint of the season of Lent, and in this season we are coming face to face with Jesus through these really personal encounters that we find in the Gospels, where Jesus gets up close and personal with people, when he gets all up in their business, you know? We are taking a risk and stepping right into those scenes to see what Jesus might be saying also to us, to see how Jesus might just be getting up in our business too. I always love it when somebody comes out the door at the end of church and says to me, "Well, preacher, now you're just meddling. Now you're getting involved here with me." And my response usually is that it's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. But what I really love about those moments, is that it reveals a moment where you were open, where there was sort of just enough of a crack for some grace to slide in and to challenge you, or to free you, or to awaken you, or to make you wonder. As we hear these stories each week, I want you to imagine being just that close. Imagine Jesus' piercing eyes looking into yours with love, with conviction. Remember that those were not blue eyes, probably, friends. Jesus was a Middle Eastern man who probably had brown eyes. So we meet Jesus today at the well, and he is uncommonly close to a Samaritan woman. Jesus engages her. He asks her for help getting some water. And her response gives us a glimpse of what she sees. "Well, how can you just ask me for that? You, a Jew, and me, a Samaritan woman." For her, there is this gauntlet of barriers between them. Jesus reassures her of what she does not yet know, that he is the one in whom all of those barriers will fall away. He is the one with living water, he says. What he has to offer will result in abundance welling up, a spring of life that never runs dry, and it's within you. When she asks him, "Sir, give me that living water," what he gives her is an assignment. "Go, call your husband, and then come back." Now he's got her. She can't hide behind the religious things that she thinks she's supposed to say, that she's kind of been trying to spew out so far. She can't hide behind the social barriers that were supposed to keep him from getting so personal. Now she has to crack the door open to her real life, behind the barrier, under the mask. "I have no husband." She cracks the door open, and then Jesus just swings it wide. "You're right, you do have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." Now, this part gets interpreted in a number of ways, and I don't know if you know this, we live in a perpetually misogynist society. And so we often really want to make it about her sinfulness and about the scandal of 5 husbands. But notice that Jesus says nothing to her about sin. No word of forgiveness or the need for it. No asking for her repentance. That does not appear to be what this is about. What I think happens here is that Jesus sees her. He lets her know that he sees beyond the categories of who she is, beyond the past that she lugs around with her like that big jar of water she's carrying. And still, he honors her. He identifies her as one who is truly seeking God, as one also whom God is seeking right here, right now, in this encounter. I am the one. I'm the one you're looking for. This is what changes her. This is what makes her drop her water jar right there at the well and run off into town to tell everyone she knows, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Through the barriers and the masks, he saw her. He saw who she was. And that enabled her to see who he was, too. This week, I heard a story from a couple of you. And in order to protect the humility of the faithful, I won't share names. But there was a couple riding along to church last Sunday morning last week. And they came to a stoplight, and they stopped right next to a man who was sitting hunched over a sign that he was holding. He was dressed all in black. His head was down, but the scowl on his face was unmistakable. He was angry at the world and a world that had done him wrong, I'm sure, again and again. And he was not about to put on a happy face for anybody. His whole posture and demeanor and presence was summed up in the sign that he was holding. It had two words. The first one begins with F. The second one is you. The couple has a practice of handing out fast food gift cards to those that they meet on the streets. And so one of them said, well, here, hand him a gift card. And the other one wasn't so sure. Well, wouldn't that kind of be like rewarding bad behavior to give him this? Can't we just think about it long enough for the light to change? But the light didn't change, which meant there was extra time for grace to work. So they rolled down the window and they reached out with the card, and I'm sure with a smile. I don't know if there were any words exchanged or not, but what I know is when this guy sat back down again, his whole presence had changed. Like a cloak had been removed, he looked 15 years younger, a smile beaming from his face, his whole countenance uplifted, and when he sat down again, turned out he had another sign. He picked that one up and it said, thank you. Oh, what it is to be seen. When someone can see through the barriers to the person that is really there. The goodness, the worth that God already put in you. It takes looking with Jesus' eyes to see through all the barriers, all the crud that gets in the way. Nearly 7 years ago, we started the At the Well ministry with the hope that it would be a place where similar encounters could happen, where women could encounter one another closely enough that they could find kinship. And thanks be to God, I do believe our prayers are being answered. On Fridays, our Family Life Center is a place where women come together for the morning and they see past the barriers, many of which just culture and society have put in place, but many of which we hold in front of ourselves, all of us. They come together and they see past those barriers to the true, beautiful, strong, brave people that they actually are. All of them. One of the most important things that Sam Wells ever taught me, important to me, is that poverty is a mask that that disguises a person's true wealth. And wealth is a mask that hides our poverty. On Friday mornings, the masks are lifted as women are cherished and seen for who they are and the gift that God has made them to be. Whether they are there to serve or to be served, they are all seen and known as beloved. And when that happens, all of us, whether we are there or not, all of us see a little more clearly the God who is in our midst. I want to ask, if Jesus were to see you, to see past all that you've done, all the baggage and regret that you carry, to see past your status or your station in life, to see through every mask and every barrier to the real you, are you afraid of what he would see? Are you afraid of what he would say? I imagine that the Samaritan woman would have been afraid if she had known he would come that close. She would have wanted to hide. And instead, his seeing her sent her running off into town to tell everybody about it. That's kind of the opposite of hiding. That sounds like a cloak lifted, like new freedom. It's when we let ourselves be seen, when we listen to what God has to say about us, not covering up the truth about our lives, but identifying what lies behind all of our barriers. That's when we discover the living water that touches our soul, that refreshes us, and it springs up in us in ways that look like new life. So friends, this week, I pray that you might feel the piercing, loving gaze of the one who sees you. I pray that you might learn to see others through his eyes. And I pray that the living water would become hydropower for you to walk with love through your days. And that you would invite everyone, as she did, come and see. Come and see. Amen.